Welcome to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I'm David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
All right, guys, this is our news episode, and we're also going to do some fan feedback. We're going to start off this episode with some Arrow news. Now, the show has referenced Coast City and Ferris Air a number of times, but fans should apparently not expect to see Hal Jordan or any other Green Lantern on the show. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim is saying, "They announced the Green Lantern Corps movie, and I'd be surprised if it didn't include Hal Jordan. It would be great, but I doubt it very much that they're going to have it on the show."
So the big dog has to eat, and then they get to see what's left.
Pretty much.
Now, I'll guarantee you this right now. If they wanted to pull Guy Gardner on, nobody's touching that anyway. Go for it, guys. I'll go buy you a tiny bowl. You can do the haircut. It'll be fantastic.
Wow. I kind of want him to bring in Guy Gardner.
I know. He's weirdly dear to your heart.
He is.
He's your Buonabeast.
No, Buonabeast is my Buonabeast.
Oh, you feel the same too. Okay. All right.
I do.
I didn't think I was completely alone about Buonabeast. Dude can make new animals. He's a god.
Now, there's been some controversy.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided to bring in a character called Baron Ryder into Arrow this season. And they've cast a British actor named Jimmy Akinbola, who is black. And Baron Ryder in the comics became a character called Baron Blitzkrieg, and he was the leader of the Shadow Spire group. He has connections with Vandal Savage, which is probably going to serve to set up Legends of Tomorrow. But this character was a Nazi.
It's in there somewhere, but it's buried. He teams up with another organization at some point.
Yeah, this character was a Nazi, though. And so there was a lot of controversy about them casting a black guy as a Nazi, which I kind of think it would be interesting to play with, to see if you could make that work from a character standpoint. But Mark Guggenheim, once again, stepped up to explain the situation. He says, I
love how you make it sound like he's going to do a good job. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to disabuse people of the notion that we cast a black man as a Nazi, because that's not actually what we did. We wanted a really great villain for Oliver in the flashbacks. So this is going to be a character in the Coast City flashbacks for season 4. We wanted to come out of the gate strong with someone great, and we wanted to, quite frankly, cast the best actor. As it turns out, our best actor was African-American. And here I thought he was British. Whatever. We took the name Baron Ryder without any intention of turning him into Baron Blitzkrieg. Baron Blitzkrieg is the evil Nazi supervillain. Baron Ryder is not going to become Baron Blitzkrieg in the show. We never planned on actually telling a story about a bad guy who is a Nazi. In fact, when people meet this character, he's not German, he's not a Nazi, he doesn't subscribe to any Nazi philosophies. We were attracted to an organization that actually in the comics had been associated with Deathstroke called Shadowspire. In the comics, Baron Ryder became associated with Shadowspire. So like I thought, they're just trying to get to the Vandal Savage stuff.
Yeah, they just want to get to... Well, they need to get to Deathstroke, too. That was the other part. They need a way to get Deathstroke back in the game, and apparently Shadowspire is going to be the way to do it. But if they do that, that actually makes Deathstroke a good guy.
But in what he actually does, he says that they would never think to cast a black dude as a Nazi, and he actually cites the amount of internet backlash that they would receive. Now,
yeah, totally avoided that dude.
I think it would be really interesting. And, you know, if they did make a character a Nazi, I mean, they could have him be a black guy and a Nazi and have it be about him. They could have him take the Nazi tenets, the tenets of the Nazi party, and move it over into superheroes. Like, it's metahumans versus humans now. It's not about, you know, color of your skin.
Right.
That's what made Magneto such a cool character. But, they're not going to do anything controversial. They're cowards.
That's what they just did was like trying to avoid a cow patty stepping sideways into a landmine. You can't put out a press release that has the words black Nazi in it and not expect. I'm sorry. Look, it's a whole wide world out there. I'm sure somewhere there is an African American Nazi. It, just because the world is too big. It's the what do they call it? Rule 34 for porn. Like, if you can imagine it, it's out there already.
Right.
This applies.
I think there may be, you know, 15, 20, and now, well, now thousands because of this news bit that's been going around. But before this news, I would say there were probably maybe a couple hundred tops who remembered Baron Blitzkrieg. And
people who've watched Brave and the Bold with us.
Well, yeah. But maybe two of those, 200 people remembered him fondly.
And those two were not the people who created him.
Right. So.
No, they remember him on their deepest, darkest days. Those are.
And Shadow Spire, I mean, let's face it, Baron Blitzkrieg was the blinking light on top of the Shadow Spire.
Mm-hmm.
No one remembers Shadow Spire. No one gives a shit about Shadow Spire.
No.
What the hell are they doing?
I don't know. And they wrote themselves into a little hole that I guess they wrote themselves into a hole. I don't know how this is happening. I don't know how we got it. I didn't expect the word Shadow Spire or Baron Blitzkrieg to come up in my life, really in the future, at all, in any capacity. So here we are.
Yeah.
And they did something even more egregious than all of the missteps you just talked about. And, you know, it could be an interesting character if they if they went full throttle for it and tried to do something dynamic and unique. And I could be fun. I think it also might just be, even if it was done well, it might just be distracting from the fact that I want to watch a Green Arrow series. But that might be the best case scenario, is they did an okay subplot. But even then, it's going to be a little too distracting for me. But worst crime in the entire thing for me is, you can't just say, how did you put it? He's not German. He doesn't have any of the thing. Like, you just pulled the guy's name out of thin air.
Yeah.
If I was writing a Batman series, if I was going to do an off-world, a new universe Batman series, and I wrote his best friend as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And then later you're like, cool, so when's Superman get involved? Like, oh, no, he's not going to be involved.
No, he's not Superman. I mean, this he's is Clark Superman. Kent, I mean, but he's Clark never going to become Superman. He doesn't have the powers. He didn't grow up in Kansas.
He's a little snivelly. He's actually a producer. It's kind of weird. Got a goatee. Good looking. But and he's into he's into Mariamba music. I don't know why.
Right.
You can't just take the name and do an entirely different character. We have expectations. Same time. I think I would rather them break that rule than actually show me Baron Blitzkrieg.
You know what? I see a massive there's an opportunity missed here. Call him Baron Ryder. He never calls himself Baron Blitzkrieg, but have Cisco call him Baron Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That's the only situation in which I will actually accept this.
You've got a Cisco.
If he gets Cisco'd, that's a different game. That is a different game entirely.
Yeah. Oh, but once again, though, they're showing that they're not looking to do anything really controversial. If you're not going to do anything controversial, why are you giving me a show? Like,
Completely fair. I want a show about Arrow. I mean, I don't need any sort of indie instinct social commentary.
No, it doesn't have to be that. It's just...
Also, I'm so bored with Nazis. I'm so fucking bored with them.
Yeah, I am too, actually.
Thanks, Hydra.
Yeah, this is Hydra's fault. Thanks, Marvel.
Yeah.
You bastards.
You ruined Nazis. They've done so much for us.
They've given us so many antagonists over the years.
Right. Oh. So many Red so-and-so and Baron so-and-sos and Baron Von Red probably is out there somewhere.
Did we talk about how, like, the mayor of Starling City always dies?
No. No, I didn't know we had a lemming in the mix.
Yeah, that's a thing that keeps happening on Arrow. If you've ever noticed.
You're right. I don't think I've ever actually... mayor, like the last... for Starling City, being a mayor is the red shirt ensign, right?
Dude, pretty much. Like, the last mayor they showed, like, she shows up for, like, two scenes, and then, like, an arrow through the heart. Window, and... Yeah.
I remember that.
Well, so this news should be of no surprise. Jeri Ryan, best known for her role as Seven of Nine in Star Trek Voyager, will appear in at least one episode of Arrow this year, the second episode. as Jessica Danforth, a friend to the Queen family whose political ambitions will place her in the crosshairs of a menacing antagonist. The episode is called The Candidate,
mm-hmm.
and one might presume she is the candidate in question.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm guessing they're not even waiting for them to become mayor anymore. Like, yeah, they're not even waiting for the people to become mayor. Like, it's just a menacing antagonist. The anti-mayor? I don't know. Like, there's just some guy running around killing mayors.
It's not even been that. I haven't thought about it as actually being just a trend. But yeah, it is impossible to hold office in that town.
It really is.
I mean, that brick guy did okay for just a second till they took him out.
Yeah, and Brother Blood had all of, like, 10 seconds.
He made it at least 15 seconds. It looked like he had time at least to decorate his desk a little bit before he got sprawled across it.
He didn't decorate that desk.
He had someone decorate it, right?
It was a set.
Someone come decorate my desk. Make me look personable.
Yep. All right. So, Entertainment Weekly is reporting now that Hawkman...
Mm-hmm.
is likely to appear on Arrow or The Flash before Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, he's all but confirmed, I think, at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, he's confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow, but they're saying he's going to appear on Flash or Arrow.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah. He's being described as charismatic and wise beyond his years. Hawkman is a natural-born leader with an abundance of charm and confidence because he's 5,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the comic book
iteration.
And
remembers a fair portion of it.
Right. Much like the comic book iteration, Carter retains his memories of his past lives each time he is reborn, though his lover, a.k.a. Hawk Girl, is born anew.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like they're gonna probably just follow that line all the way through.
Sounds good to me.
I don't know.
I think they're going to introduce probably at least half of the people that are going to be on Legends of Tomorrow before they even get around to it. Now, being that he is 5,000 years old, he could end up playing a pretty significant role with this whole Vandal Savage thing. They could
mm-hmm.
see Hawkman most of the time. They're jumping through time over there.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that one bit.
Hawkman, speaking of which,
jumping through time essentially with them and learning lessons. By the way, you did see there was a Easter egg for, well, I don't know if it's supposed to be an Easter egg or just a blatant cock tease, but in the, I think it was Suicide Squad set, there were Midway City police cars.
Oh.
Yep.
No.
I can't remember if it was BVS or Suicide Squad, but one of them has Midway City police cars on it.
Yeah, oddly enough, I didn't connect that. I didn't even think about it.
I mean,
I'm a shitty host.
How dare you miss a thing? What were you thinking?
I hereby relinquish my role as roast? As role? My role as host.
Are you hungry?
Damn. What?
Are you hungry?
I'm a little bit.
Do you want to relinquish your role and go have a roll and a roast?
That sounds delightful.
Wouldn't it? You're not allowed to relinquish the roll because I don't want it.
Can I relish the roll?
You can relish the roll. Slather it.
For Legends of Tomorrow, showrunner Phil Klemmer. He's saying at a certain point we will have darkness emerge and characters will betray one another and be tempted by the dark side. And others might not make it along for the full trip, and mm-hmm. others might be lost in weird time periods. It's an anthology show. This is not designed to go on forever. This season is meant to be standalone. I mean, not as anthological as True Detective, but not everybody will be continuing on this journey. The sort of central premise of time travel and Vandal Savage is totally up for grabs. This is meant to be a season that is tightly serialized, that when it's over, you can't go home again. It's not going to begin season two with us all hopping back on the same ship and like, let's get Vandal, let's get him for real this time. This is not traditional episodic television. Mark Guggenheim adds, the way we think of it is each arc, each season is its own separate movie. Well, excuse me. What we want to do is have each separate movie have its own identity. So almost to the point where each season was telling one big story that you could sort of subtitle, like the way you do, like you subtitle American Horror Story, if that makes sense. I'm on board that, man.
Yeah.
I am so on board that idea.
Well, and
that's what I think they should be doing for Arrow
too,
and The Flash as well.
They can't guarantee a season two, so they're not trying to just leave a cliffhanger they have to pick up in, you know, another season of Arrow or The Flash. They're not...
Yeah.
They're playing it safe, but if they've decided, okay, well, if it sounds like they've decided, if we're going to play it like this. Let's go for it. Yeah. What are the odds that like first few episodes White Canary gets left in an alternate time and we don't get to deal with her anymore?
Oh, that would be amazing.
A man can hope, right?
A man can hope and pray.
God help her. Maybe she'll be more fun when she comes back.
Oh, man. You know, I just...
It's possible. I mean, she just didn't have any room, and I didn't like her on Arrow for the most part because she wasn't ever really going to be the Black Canary. That wasn't her destiny. Right. She was just a big distracting piece of nonsense. And what was she...
A big distracting piece of nonsense.
And how?
That's pretty much... That's a pretty adept description of season two of Arrow, I think.
It actually is. Just right on board. Oh, look, Summer Glau. Oh, man, it's over. Okay.
Oh, look, Lady Deathstroke. Is it Summer Glau? Yeah. Oh, wait, now she's gone.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. Is that Jason? Is that Intricate? No, never mind. Never mind. Whole different thing. Don't worry. I don't even remember what I was talking about. We started to stumble down the Arrow season two rabbit hole. It's nothing but shame and despair down there. Let's hop out if we can.
I believe you were discussing your hope for White Canary to be left behind in some alternate time period.
Right. Now, you can make it a noble end, but with any luck. Now, you got to think, I mean, of course they were going to have people try to turn on the rest of the team, and they're doing the Dirty Dozen, essentially.
I mean, you're talking about a superhero team with Heatwave and Captain Cold.
And Captain Cold's a calculating son of a bitch. He's going to see an opportunity for something along the way and take his shot.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be like old Biff going back in time to give his younger self the sports almanac.
Right. I'm waiting for Sarah to end up trapped back in time somewhere and end up being her own grandmother or something.
Oh, man.
No, wait.
Or her own
mother. Let her get trapped in time near her mom.
Yeah.
And instead end up training her mom. So when we come back to the regular Arrow universe, that is officially the first Canary.
Oh, my God. Do you see why we should be writing this? That's
because
perfect.
We would have more fun with it than if someone else did it. Why wouldn't we want to?
Oh, my God. There is no reason that Alex Kingston should not be Black Canary for Shizzle.
Black Canary
Prime.
This
is Alex Kingston. This is River Song, people.
we've traveled that path before.
All right. Not quite the same way though. We didn't take the same route to it.
Never bothered with time travel. But.
Oh, time travel! Oh, the Flash! You mm-hmm. magnificent bastard of a.
You could
series.
Train her so early that she wouldn't even recognize her own daughter yet, so it wouldn't be a problem.
It'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then at point they're out battling together and Katie Lott or White Canary dies and she takes up the mantle, but she doesn't want to be the White Canary because that's in honor of her, so she's the Black Canary.
Insert ceremonial handing over of jacket.
Right. Ah. Oh wait, it's a white jacket now. So somehow there will have to be an oil spill involved that dyes the jacket for them. Or she just gets all emo with the jacket.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. Over to Gotham.
Yes.
Over to Gotham.
I'm hungry for Gotham.
Michael Chiklis. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Have you seen? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I read it three times before I accepted that it was actually happening.
Is that a negative reaction?
I actually even looked at the... yes, it absolutely negative reaction. I hated the Shield. At some point, I looked at the date of the article to see if it was actually April 1st. It was not.
Dude, the commish is going to meet the commish.
It's not okay. It's unacceptable. That is way too much testosterone for one room.
Michael Chiklis is going to be playing a character named Nathaniel Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
He will show up in the GCPD, apparently like a tornado, ripping out the dead wood of Gotham's police force. Mm-hmm. He is a law and order zealot, unafraid of making enemies on either side of the law. For Gordon, Barnes is a hero and a mentor, someone with whom he can share the burden of heroism. Captain Barnes proves himself to be a strong ally to Gordon, but one day he will make an equally powerful enemy. I am on board. I like Michael Chiklis, though.
I got nothing for Michael Chiklis.
Aside from his turn as the Thing, I like Michael Chiklis. I even liked his turn as the Thing. He just looked bad.
That was my favorite performance of his. but they've all just been characters I never care about his character. They've never made him fun for me. Just every time I see him, yep, bulldog with a badge, gotcha. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And this version might
everyone loves a bulldog with a badge, man. Everybody loves a
just
bulldog.
Name the movie
with a badge.
Bulldog with a Badge. Send him on his way. He'll be fine.
I'm down, man. Let's do it. Let's make Bulldog with a Badge.
We'll have Tom Hanks be his chief. It'd be perfect. he'll explain to him over and over again that he can't just go all vigilante on him. It'll be.
Yeah, that's why you should have liked the Shield, because all he was like a vigilante with a badge.
It just it was too much for me at the time.
Put on Danny Elfman's Batman music with Michael Chiklis running around beating up hoods. You'll change your mind. You'll change your heart.
I do have a proposal for what to do with Chiklis towards the end of the season when he inevitably turns on everyone.
Yeah.
Look at his face. Now imagine it melting into Clayface.
Ooh, actually, I was looking at some pictures of Michael Chiklis.
He
kind of
already looks like he was molded out of some sort of putty anyway.
I was looking at some pictures of Michael Chiklis, and I thought, you know, if they didn't have Vincent D'Onofrio over on Daredevil, Chiklis would have been a fine kingpin.
I'm not sure he has the chops for...
He has the chops and the jowls.
He couldn't match D'Onofrio's performance on that. No,
he has the chops and the jowls.
He has the jowls of three good men. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to disparage the man's jowls.
Those jowls cannot be disparaged, sir.
They cannot. The unstoppable jowl, the sequel to Bulldog with a Badge.
All right, now they have released two new trailers. They're little spots,
little teasers. A little how do you do to get you through another month.
A little bit of how's your father? And
well, his father's still very dead.
What's that?
His father is still very dead.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess the first one is called Hungry. And there's not a lot to see, though, I don't think. It's Gordon telling Loeb, I told you I'd break you. I will. Gordon cocks his gun. Gordon sits with Penguin. Asks him if he's going to help him. Penguin laughs. Then
it didn't look like anything has changed. It's still a show about Gordon going up against the system and then going up against the you know, gangsters that have molded that system to their will. And then Gordon kind of getting to be there for a couple of the origin stories of some major criminals because, God help him, he's just stuck in the middle of this. Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Same show. What they did was basically give you a quick little visual promo for anyone who hasn't been reading any news on it.
Right.
Just so you're aware of, the battle with Loeb is going to heat up. Excellent. Penguin's got a really nice chair these days. Excellent chair. Take a look at that thing.
Still terrible hair.
Still terrible hair. But
better
he's
chair.
Now, he's now the crime lord
still
of Gotham.
Bad hair.
He can do whatever he wants with his damn hair.
Right.
If someone acts up, he'll have Butch kill him.
We do get a bit of James Frayne's character saying, "Monsters are coming to cleanse this city in blood and fire."
And then a look at the quasi-Joker.
The pre-embryonic Joker, they're calling him, apparently.
Right now it's Schrodinger's Joker, is what it is for me. But plenty of good villains. That's one tigress shot in there, just so we're clear about her being both hot and owning a bullwhip.
Right, right.
I was down. Yeah, I was down for the season anyway, so this was just kind of a woo-hoo.
You know what's
funny is... an extra gulp.
Well, it didn't hit me until I watched this trailer, but this Gotham, the subtitle they're given this season, Rise of the Villains, does that not just, like, fill you with dread and make you think of Heroes Season 3?
No, it doesn't. They're not coming off a writer's strike.
I wish they were. Based on the last half of that, based on the last half of season one, I wish they were coming off of a writer's strike.
Well, season two got ruined by the writer's strike. Season one was intact. Brian Fuller was still head of the chairman of the board there, and they were fine.
I know.
Gotham has neither had a writer's strike nor has it lost Brian Fuller. So that's at least two things in its favor.
But it never had Brian Fuller. So.
Neither has it lost him.
Now the second spot is Bruce and Alfred walking down the stairs into what we can only assume is the Batcave, or will become the Batcave, and There appears to be some sort of demonic lion's head situation.
Looks almost like a Medusa.
Yeah, yeah. It's got like it's like a lion with snakes coming out of his head, like it's, this big metal thing.
It's a very uninviting visage.
It is, and there's a very shoddily crafted keypad that moves way too much when Bruce presses it.
It was
something.
Very dark down there while he was installing the keypad. Come on, craftsmanship did not come easily.
But Bruce, you have Bruce saying, you can't have the truth unless you feel a true calling. I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't know either. I don't care. I'm watching the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I don't think that sentence makes any sense, though, to be clear.
I like to think of it as like a message that he's going to find somewhere before he figures out what the code to that door is. This is going to be like his first little detective adventure.
Yeah.
And somewhere along it, there's going to be a little Lucius Fox just pushing him a couple of clues.
I like the character of Lucius Fox. I'm not sure ever since like the Nolan movies, they've really pushed that character into being like, oh, well, he does all of Batman's tech stuff. He knows who Batman is, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, I kind of miss like old bumbly Lucius Fox from the animated series and the old comics, you know, where he was competent and he knew how to run Bruce's business, and he was the only man that Bruce trusted to run that business.
Yeah.
Because Bruce is busy being Batman and making the cool toys himself.
Right. I never minded the Bruce making the cool toys himself. I like to think that he knows exactly what all the cool toys do and how they're made. I don't think he's behind intellectually on that schematic, but I'm not opposed to the Lucius Fox being his kind of his ghostwriter to some extent. I don't mind that.
I want Bruce to be. I want him to be Bat God, essentially. I want him to know all the things.
I know, and he's so close. Because in the versions they've done recently, it's not like he's not some surfer dude being handed a cool new gun or something. He's really busy out using the current technology to, you know, stop people. And, you know, he's got this guy coming up with new gadgets every now and then. And he's got his own little money penny, essentially. It's kind of fun. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Or Q.
His own little what?
Q was the one.
Q, yeah. That's... I was Q. Like, his own hot girl who sits at a desk and flirts with him?
I apologize. I haven't watched the last two James Bonds.
Why, hello, Bruce.
I've been Craigless for at least 4 or 5 years.
You're looking mighty fine today. Would you like your martini? Why, yes, I would, Mr. Moneypenny.
It's been a mo for me.
Oh, now we're going to jump over to movie news real quick. Guillermo del Toro has officially dropped out of Justice League Dark or Dark Universe. I can't be more sad about this. That sucks.
Because it was yet another place where I might once again find Constantine one day.
Once again, Constantine. Which, like a few weeks ago, he actually said that, yes, he turned in his script for Justice League Dark. And, well, I guess things went poorly. But they're saying it's because of scheduling, because he's going to do Pacific Rim 2 and a couple other things. So I can't be completely disappointed.
Look, giant robots and aliens fighting, that's a fine cause.
Right.
It's hard to get onto them.
You can't have the truth.
What a life if you're choosing between Justice League Dark and giant monsters and robots.
You can't have the truth unless you feel a true calling.
Right.
And if your true calling is...
giant robot
battle. Giant robots fighting interdimensional aliens.
Right.
Okay. If your true calling involves Charlie Hunnam.
All it means for sure is that you are the proud owner of a penis.
Right.
That's all I can be sure about.
By the way, Charlie Hunnam could play a kick-ass Constantine. Just saying.
The actual, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was downright charismatic.
Yeah. Batman v. Superman.
Enigmatic.
There is a bit of Batman vs. Superman news. It might be, it's just a rumor at this point, but it's a pretty good hunch. They're saying Eli Snyder, Zack Snyder's son, is going to be playing Robin. Now, this isn't just favoritism. He did play young Leonidas in 300. So he was the kid like fighting the giant wolf things. He did it with a sneer. He did it well. He was also young Rorschach in Watchmen.
Yeah, now that kid was crazy.
Yeah. So if we are to have a Robin who is able to get beaten by with a crowbar and still just have a sneer the entire time he's being beaten to death, I think Eli Snyder can pull it off. Based on those two roles, I would say yes.
It will probably be a flashback, though. And
oh, yeah, sure, sure. Now, the set photographer, Clay Enos, actually posted an image of Zach and Eli Snyder on his Instagram, and with the caption, ... boy wonder, ... So I'm pretty sure that's probably what's happening. And he does. He looks like an indignant little Jason Todd. He's grown now. But I can see that kid playing Red Hood at some point.
Wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't bother me, but I don't know if they're going to have, you know, time to deal with Red Hood somewhere in that universe there.
Oh, man. Red Hood is popular enough.
Have they announced
whether
they're really looking to include something like a Robin?
You know, months ago, like I heard that Adam Driver from HBO's Girls might be playing Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we didn't hear anything else about Nightwing. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to see Nightwing on the screen. I really would. I don't want Adam Driver to play him, but
you want him to have the mullet and everything?
No. Why would I want that? Why would you just assume that I want to see the mullet?
Well,
he doesn't always have the mullet.
You're very traditionalist about your representations.
No, not. I mean, there's being a traditionalist.
There is a line somewhere, and it's right in front of mullet.
There's being a traditionalist, and then there's just being foolish. I wasn't in favor. Like that's one of the biggest. Like I would say the top three major errors in Batman the Animated Series is they gave him the damn mullet. Luckily, yeah. It's so dark most of the time you can't see he has that little rat tail.
He does. Well, it's only a rat tail when he gets sweaty. Kind of folds into one little tailish thing.
All right. We're going to do some listener feedback. We actually have listener feedback.
Yay.
How cool is that? Actually, we were remiss. We've had listener feedback for about a month, and I didn't realize it. Over on Stitcher, someone named Bat's Cave Explorer wrote a review for us, and they said they titled it "Fun and Informative," and said these guys are awesome. They cover all the DC news and stuff coming out, and they're really funny. Highly recommend. So that's nice. Thanks, Bat's Cave Explorer.
Thanks, man.
And
we never bothered to come up with like a mission for the show, but it would have been fun and informative if we could have picked a couple of adjectives.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Thanks, man.
They described it better than we did.
Yeah, yeah.
That was our mission statement, and we did not know it.
I know. If at some point we need copyright, we'll let this go now.
Right.
Obviously, we're not well enough rounded people to figure it out for ourselves.
On Facebook, we got Christopher White. He says, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I wanted to let you know that there's nothing I enjoy more than listening to two guys who really know their stuff. Thank you, Christopher. Talk about what they love, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do to contribute to the show, because I hope you guys keep going for a while. Just wondering, would the Arkham games count as DC on screen, and furthermore, what are your thoughts on DC games in general? I'd also, could you guys recommend some good Batman and Flash stories? I have read Dark Knight Returns, Death in the Family, and Killing Joke. So that's a lot of stuff there. You want to address the?
That's a fine start on what's in the canon already.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. If all you ever read was the Killing Joke, you've done okay.
Do you want to talk about the Arkham games first? Do you want to discuss what we're planning to do?
For me,
that?
It's obvious. Are they DC characters? Yep. Are they on my screen? Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And you know, if we had had time, I would have probably tried to cover them right before the Arkham Knight came out.
Mm-hmm.
To date, I haven't had time to play Arkham Knight, which is really fucking annoying if you're looking up DC news or just doing anything I would do on a daily basis, which involves typing DC into Google.
Right.
Everyone's got the ending of Arkham Knight up on the little YouTube cliplet.
They do.
And there's no way to ask YouTube just to not ruin something for you. So I've been trying my best to avoid it. But at some point, yes, they should be talked about. These are written by Paul Dini.
Well, one of them was. Arkham Asylum was. Arkham Asylum and maybe... was Arkham City.
Arkham City as well.
But he said he didn't have anything to do with Arkham Origin or Arkham Knight.
Correct. He had dropped off by then. But through Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, which is one of the best Joker stories he's ever had the opportunity to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did okay. He did real okay.
Yeah. I played Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, or we both played them together.
Right.
Because I don't have whatever it is that magic ingredient in a person's attention span to sit and play a video game. I don't have it. I don't care about looking for clues.
Yeah. We did figure out one of the major rules for beating that game. When in doubt, look up.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a vent somewhere you need to grapple to and you have not seen it yet.
And when that doesn't work, when in doubt, look down.
Right.
There's probably a vent that you need to crawl into.
Right, right.
I
swear, some of my favorite parts of those games are just the random thugs in the middle of the street going, "Yeah, that's right, Batman. I knew you wouldn't want to face me." Yeah, buddy. Sorry, I'm on my way to take care of the Joker, but that's only as a sidebar because you thug number 23, you're too much for me, and I know it.
Oh, also, when in doubt, brain. Sometimes you just got to brain a lunatic.
You got to brain a lunatic. Look, if you're playing Arkham Asylum, and you end up in one of those situations where the lunatics are out and the regular criminals are out, screw the regular criminal. Take care of the brain the lunatics first.
Right, right.
It's your only chance of survival.
Beware of assholes trying to get pipes out of walls.
They will pull pipes out of walls and come at you. Well, I swear, my favorite part of this game, though, is he knocks everyone unconscious.
Right.
Indefinitely,
right.
Or at least as definitely as it takes to go to another room, come back, and have the game, you know, clean up for you by unspawning.
Right.
It's Batman, though. He doesn't kill. And
right.
You know, screw Batman Begins. That, you know, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. It's a fine turn of phrase. Not for Batman.
Right.
And sadly, that's maybe the best line in the movie, but there you go.
It is.
He's knocking people unconscious, but he spent a fair amount of time in a sewer system where he's knocking people unconscious and leaving them face down in a puddle of water. Sorry, Max, you killed that dude.
Murder by neglect.
Murder by neglect. You can't just walk away.
When Jay, you know, it falls in line right along the same line as murder by child endangerment.
Well, I mean, to him, sure. At that point, it's just a tiny person who can't take care of himself. Now,
yeah.
In this
now
case,
fight the Joker.
He's knocked
fight
out
the Joker.
Half of his teeth and broken a fair portion of two legs. But
all right.
But the games were great. The games are really great. I'd love to actually talk about them, but
yeah,
I refuse to acknowledge their existence until I've actually had the chance to play Arkham Knight.
And I would like to not talk about them until I have a chance to actually watch the movie for. I'm just like, that's what I do.
You're just gonna watch
pretty
the story
much
on YouTube.
Yeah,
you're gonna,
I'm
watch,
gonna
the
watch
thing
the
I've been
YouTube.
Avoiding actually.
Because I like most of the time I would just sit and watch Jason play the game for the story. Like, I wanted to see the story, and then if he had a particularly bad time getting through something, he would hand me the controller and I would play with it for a few minutes, and sometimes I'd get through it and sometimes I wouldn't. But that's basically how we did those types of things. And
it's as good as it is, it's still very button mashy.
Yeah, it's button mashy. And
I don't know if your version of button mashy is square with triangle every now and then or X with Y every now and then, but that's the key to winning that game. Lots of X with some Y.
I thought the key to winning the game was grapple and curse, grapple and curse.
That helps a lot. Helps a whole hell of a lot.
I do. Oh, and I need to go back, and because I didn't watch Arkham Origins. I didn't get into that one. I didn't. I know that
it had a pretty good Joker story, too, but
I know that Deadshot is a son of a bitch.
Deadshot is a son of a bitch. I swear I spent 3 days trying to beat one room with Deadshot in it.
I'd come in from work, and Jason's just cursing Deadshot.
Just like two straight days where every time you wandered through the room, I'm fucking Deadshot. Yeah, he was. All right.
Now, he asks for us to recommend some good Batman and Flash stories. Now, that's a great question for anyone who wants something to really fall back on, and I'm sure I'm missing a whole bunch of stuff. But a lot of
really great Flash stories are actually just really great stories in general. I mean, a lot of Crisis is based on Flash.
Yeah, but he says he's read Dark Knight Returns, Death in the Family, and Killing Joke. Those are three that anyone who ever decided to call themselves a Batman fan should have already read.
Yeah, they need to be tucked away and all nice and cozy at night.
I'll probably get some backlash for my list, but I'd say Batman Hush by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee.
Yes.
Batman The Long Halloween by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Dark Victory by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. If it has the names Jeff Loeb or Tim Sale, and especially if both, just go ahead and pick that shit up right now.
Just honestly, just go grab everything Jeff Loeb ever did with the bat. You'll be okay.
Frank Miller's Batman Year One. That's an obvious. And Zack Snyder, not Zack Snyder's, I always call him that. Scott Snyder's Zero Year. Batman Zero Year. Do that. That's really fun.
That one is really good. I mean, the Court of Owls thing also.
Court of Owls.
It's huge, but it is a lot of fun. I mean, it's hundreds of pages of material. And that's if you just take the main storyline and don't do a lot of the connected stuff. You've still got hundreds of pages in front of you. And if you wanted to see where Snyder was going with the Joker before he got through this whole Endgame thing, which is a a clusterfuck of internet consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, though, the Death of the Family.
Death of the Family. I have that listed. And Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame's worth reading just because it's so damn confusing. I mean, not until the very end, but you get the last scene is just...
To be fair and clear, Batman Mad Love may be one of the best Batman issues. It's a one shot. It's Paul Dini.
Mm-hmm.
It's Harley Quinn's origin story. You've got to go pick up Mad Love.
I agree.
It is amazing. I would say Batman Nightfall, Night's Quest, and Night's End. Those are fun. They're not the best, but they're fun.
If you can find a decent run through of No Man's Land.
No Man's Land, Batman R.I.P., anything with Grant Morrison on it, you can pretty much bank
Arkham
on. Arkham Asylum.
A one-shot of his that was just phenomenal. That thing was the best-selling graphic novel of all time for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it deserved every bit of it.
Looking at Batman in particular, I know the name is confusing, but Justice League of America, Tower of Babel by Mark Waid and Howard Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Whole hell of a big pile of yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can grab of Batman Black and White. Now, that's an anthology series. It's a lot of different artists and writers working on little Batman stories, and they're all in Black and White. Do that. Grab that. I know it's not Batman, but Nightwing, the Denny O'Neil, Chuck Dixon, and Scott McDaniel runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those. I mean, if you ever wanted to know about the first Robin Dick Grayson and his that's the story that chronicles his moving to the sister city Bloodhaven, Gotham sister city, and trying to get out from Batman's shadow. Great run.
He's been picked up. Snyder picked up Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
For a long while there, and did a great job with him. Really,
Court of Owls. Snyder's
a nice throwback to his what he's been doing with him.
Scott Snyder. There was a during Batman R.I.P. or directly after they thought Batman was dead. Dick Grayson took over the Batman mantle. Scott Snyder did a great book called The Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Dick Grayson's Batman trying to come to terms with Gordon and vice versa, and also them trying to stop Jim Gordon's son, who's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Brian Augustine.
Straight up psychopath. It's fantastic.
Brian Augustine and Mike Mignola's Batman Gotham by Gaslight. That's a good one. Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert's Batman and Son. That's a fine thing.
Yeah.
As far as Flash goes, like you can really like, I'm a huge Batman fan. Like that's how I got it. That was my doorway into this universe.
It's so a lot of people's doorway.
I know a lot more about Batman than I do the Flash, but everything Geoff Johns, just go by. If Mark Waid or Geoff Johns wrote it and it has the Flash on it, you do that.
Just find it.
You
know, a nice cheat code for it, and we pimp the like DC movies all the time, but the Flashpoint Paradox?
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Flashpoint just Paradox great. Is amazing. Terminal Velocity is a good one. Blitz. Wade's Justice League Year One. You don't get a ton on Barry, but it shows a lot of the great group dynamic with Barry and Black Canary and Green Lantern, and Batman pops in briefly, but he's not really there for very long. Martian Manhunter, great stuff. The death of Iris Allen is a pretty good one. That's got to be Flash 275 through 284. And that's the storyline that actually that resonated with Flash up until the point he died in Crisis on Infinite Earths. There's too many crises.
There were so many, and it so tumbled. Many. The first one was a crisis with a plan, and then after a while, it was just a crisis because the original crisis didn't work. And then eventually, it's just a crisis because we're perpetually in crisis now because no one knows what's happening.
A fair amount of what you're going to see, like if you go back and read the Grant Morrison or Mark Waid runs on Justice League, you're going to see a Flash there. That's Wally West, and that's Barry Allen's nephew.
He's a lot of
fun. Wally West is a whole lot of fun.
He's like the spirit animal of the Flash series that we've got now.
Yeah, a little bit. You're going to want to read the Return of Barry Allen storyline. That's a fine storyline. And you can't not read Flash 123, The Flash of Two Worlds. That's going to be that's a precursor for everything we're about to see on The Flash Season 2. Earth 2 stuff, Jay Garrick showing up and meeting Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty good precursor. That's a pretty good rundown of good titles.
That's like 6 months of crap you just named.
I know. I know.
That's 6 months of actually really trying.
You know what? The cat asked if we had any recommendations. You know, ask and you shall receive.
I understand. And as an addendum, if anyone ever really wants to get to the heart of why the hell we actually love Wannabes so much, my love comes out of the Grant Morrison Animal Man run.
Right, Animal Man. he asked about Batman and the Flash.
I know, but I want to encourage as many people as possible to go find Animal Man and see what Grant Morrison did with him. Just because this is why every now and then I wish a character would go into deep obscurity so Grant Morrison can revive them. That's what he's the Lazarus Pit of writing.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
By the way, Morrison's Batman, the most James Bond Batman I've ever seen.
Batbard, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
I do have to draw the line with Batman Incorporated. I still don't know what's happened in Batman Incorporated.
Yeah, Batman Inc. was weird.
I keep reading through it, and I have like a tiny little frontal lobe detachment that happens every time, and then I just kind of see a bunch of colors, right, and I pass out for a few hours.
Right.
And then I wake up and go, why is Damian dead? Oh, that happened. Okay.
All right. We have somehow turned a news portion into a long time. So we're going to call it on this installment of DC On Screen. We are DC On Screen. You can find us on Twitter, DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Do us a huge favor. Go and rate us 5 stars. Give us a favorable review.
And eventually we'll figure out you left a review and say so.
And we'll eventually figure out that you left us a review.
Right. We can be trusted to eventually, in time, do a thing.
All right. The next episode we're going to drop probably tomorrow, and it's going to be a recap review of Batman, the Brave and the Bold. A very fun cartoon series. We hope to see you there. Until then, put some DC on your screen. We know we will.